influence the past several weeks, and I'll go ahead and tell you, it's still odd to me, no matter how long or how many times I do it, it's odd to preach the same message in an evening service that I did in the morning service. But again, I just feel as if the Lord would have everyone to be able to get something out of these messages, and from those that are in Sunday school classes on Sunday morning teaching and giving their time to that labor, and for our South location here, I just want to make sure that we apply the best of our abilities what the Lord would have us to do. And I do hope and pray, guys, that it's been a blessing to you, and trust that it will. We're going to do things a little different. We'll ask the Lord's blessing upon our sermon this evening, and then we're going to get into a brief introduction, and then we're going to get into our text tonight. So let's bow our heads, if we will, and ask the Lord's blessing upon the preaching this evening. Father in heaven, again, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for the opportunity to be together one with another this evening. We thank you for some glorious hymns that we were able to sing one with another here just moments ago, and pray that it prepared our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. And I ask you this evening, Lord, that you'd keep us focused, that you keep our heart, Lord, in tune with you, that dear Lord, everyone in this room, whether they were in the sermon this morning or not, dear God, will be attentive unto your word, not mine, but yours and yours alone. We pray that, dear God, that you would use the mighty word of God, and use your preaching tonight, your teaching this evening, to better help us in this world today as we live for you and try to glorify you in every opportunity and place that you have placed us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We want to lift up in prayer the Hughes family tonight. We want to pray for those, dear God, in this world that are near unto that door and to the world beyond, and ask you, Father, to please touch their hearts. Send someone by, a light, a messenger of the gospel, that they may receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're thankful to be here tonight, guys, and I'm going to be concluding on this section of our Christian Mindset series on the Christian Mindset of Influence tonight, and I want to reinforce a few things by way of introduction this evening, just to kind of bring all the past several weeks together, if you will, and in particularly in this particular topic of influence. I want you to understand that the definition of the word influence, as a reminder, means the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, the behavior on someone or something. That's what influence is to have an effect on someone, to affect them. We want to affect people, not infect them, if you will. And so we've looked over the last several weeks on how we are influenced by our relationship with the Father in heaven. And that relationship, that influence that we have by our Father in heaven, is our answer to overcome our fear in this world today. We are settled in our fear through understanding that we have peace, we have promise, we have power, and we have prayer. When I say we have prayer, guys, we have access to the Holy of Holies. No matter where we are or what we were doing, we have access as a born-again individual, as a child of God, right before the throne of grace. We can come before the throne of grace with boldness because we are a royal priesthood in His name tonight. Not only did we look at that, we looked also, in the next chapter, we looked at how we are influenced by our relationship with the Son. And that influence is the answer to our fruit in this world. It's knowing that He is our friend who desires our joy to be full. And finally, last week we looked at how we are influenced by our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. The answer to our faith tonight in this world and the world beyond is through the Holy Spirit of God. And it's by the Holy Spirit of God that we have power in His presence when we grant Him prevalence in our days. And so this tonight being the final chapter in the Mindset of Influence series in our life, I want us to understand that we are enabled tonight to strive for excellence through the habitual living for Christ and overcome the temptation to quit when we adhere to these three particular relationships. But tonight brings it all together. Having such a position in this life, having an influence in our world today, as we are influenced by the Father, we're influenced by the Son, we're influenced by the Holy Spirit of God, this evening we can now address the topic of our influence of God, our influence by God, in and through our faithfulness. In and through our faithfulness. Beloved, Paul was a faithful man of God. He was a faithful Christian, if you will. He was faithful not only in serving God, but guys, he was faithful in his influence. He said, I have fought a good fight. He says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He believed in being an influence to others until his dying day. He was striving for excellence and influence others toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So may I say this to you tonight, just to sum up our introduction. Our faithfulness in this world today is dependent upon our relationship with God in prayer. our relationship in God in prayer. Look in John chapter 17, and I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God quickly here tonight. John chapter 17, we're going to read 9 verses. The Bible says there, if you will, in verse 1, John 17 and in verse 1, it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." You may be seated, if you will, here this evening. I do appreciate you standing, if you will. But the opening text tonight speaks to us in this sweet communion, that sweet relationship, the sweet talk and conversations that we have with our Lord in prayer. The key to prayer tonight is more than just speaking to Him. The key to prayer is more than just having a chat or having a talk. I don't believe that we should ever flippantly say, "Hey, I'm having a conversation with my daddy upstairs." I understand what people say when they do that, and they want to say, "My papa up there." Listen, the Bible doesn't say papa. It doesn't say daddy. It says Father in heaven, amen. Right. And when we have sweet communion with God tonight, when we have prayer with Him, we understand that our sweetest hours of prayer, our best prayers are performed when they're performed through a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of gratitude. I want you to think about it like this, if you will, tonight. When do we typically say thank you to someone? Birthdays, anniversaries, the Christmas times, whatever it may be. We say thank you to someone once we've been given something, once something has been received. We find in our text verses tonight that the word "given" or "gave us" is in some shape, form, or fashion occurs 9 times just in the 9 verses that we read in our opening text. If you go throughout this entire chapter, John chapter 17, you'll see that phrase pop up 13 times in total. We find the word world, if you will, the word "world" mentioned 19 times in 14 verses out of John 17. So what does that tell us tonight? What does that tell us when we begin to speak on our faithfulness toward God in prayer? It means that proper prayer is performed with a thankful heart for the world. A thankful heart for the world. I know it's easy for us to get into the mindset of the world this, and it's black and white, it's good and evil, it's bad, it's good, and all this and that. And I know it's like we're anti-world. I get that. I understand that. Hey, listen, God has never told us to be anti-world. The world system is a reproach unto the Lord. This I know. But He put us in the midst of this world as an opportunity to shine as lights to a lost and dying world today, my friend. And so when we go to prayer, when we pray earnestly to God tonight, when we come and have sweet communion with Him, and we understand that in our life we're praying out of a thankful heart for the world that He's given us to live in. Our sphere of what? We say it all the time. Our sphere of influence. The circle that we run in. The places we are where the Lord has allowed us, enabled us, and placed us to be so that we can influence in them for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, guys, if you're going to be an influence to the world tonight, you're going to have to do so through prayer. And if you're going to influence the world tonight through prayer, you're going to have a heart that is grateful for what the Lord has done for you, what the Lord will do for you, and what the Lord has done and will do for others around you. That's what the prayer that's going to have power in it behind us. That's what we're going to make us faithful in our life. You can't have one without the other. You cannot have faithful, earnest prayer tonight without a heart of gratitude. Within the pages of the eternal world word, this is what we find. We're given a format how to pray. Again, I mentioned this morning, but often quite many times in sports, especially in the States, I don't know if they do so much over here, but the team will come together and they say, "Okay, so-and-so, lead us in the Lord's Prayer." And they'll say, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That is known as the model prayer. It's given us a format, a basis of how we are to pray. And beloved, listen, when we are to pray, number one, we are to pray to the Father. Matthew 6, 9 says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Again, that's not the Lord's Prayer, but rather, that is the model prayer. You say, well, preacher, where is the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer is found in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there be another way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. That's the Lord's Prayer. But the model prayer is found in this format here, as Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples how to pray. So number one, our prayer needs to be to the Father. We pray unto the Father. We pray through the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We are to pray to the Father through the Holy Spirit of God, thirdly, in the name of Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the format of prayer tonight. That's how it's done. That's the formula, if you will, to the Father, through the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we pray. But most importantly, you can have all three of those in order. But if you're not praying out of a grateful heart, if you're not praying out of a broken, open, contrite heart this evening, thankful for what the Lord will do or has done or is doing, my friend, your prayers are not going to render faithfulness in your life. Beloved, troubles are going to happen in your life. There are days when you're not going to be hitting on all cylinders, as one would say. Sometimes life is dreary. Sometimes life is dark. Sometimes it's dry. Sometimes life is just discouraging, and that's just all there is to it. That's the way life is at times. But our faithfulness is not determined by the darkness of the outside, but our faithfulness is determined by the diligence of our prayer life to God. Beloved, our prayer life becomes the linchpin. Many of you guys have seen our monthly prayer bulletins or our bi-monthly prayer bulletins, and what I put on this one for this August, September, it'll be over here in a week or so, but it's a linchpin. I put a linchpin on the cover of our prayer bulletin, and I asked everybody on the Wednesday night when I passed them out, I said, what do you think that is? And there's a few different answers that was popped out there. Some said a Carter pen and all this and that. Carter pens are used with linchpins a lot of times. But that's a linchpin. Why? Because our prayer, my friend, is a linchpin to our influence in this life. It is the caveat of our faithfulness. Without a prayer life, we cannot be faithful in the world that the God has given us. And you may be sitting here tonight and you may be listening for the last several weeks and wondering why you aren't being an influence to those that are around you. And maybe you're in the midst of fear and you've become fruitless and you're weak in your faith tonight. I'm going to ask you this simple question as we go into our 3 points this evening. Simple question, how is your prayer life? You cannot expect, I'll use this same illustration. You can have a Maserati, a Lamborghini, a Ferrari. You can have one of the fastest, most powerful vehicles in the world sitting outside of your house. If there is no fuel in that car, it doesn't matter how big the engine is or how good it looks, it's going absolutely nowhere. And in your Christian life, it doesn't matter how well you dress, it doesn't matter what verses you may know, if you're not fueling your Christian life through a diligent prayer life, you're going to go nowhere. You're not going to have the faithfulness that God is requiring for your life, my friend. The bottom line is this, if you're being influenced by the world today more than God, it's because your prayer life isn't what it should be. It is that simple tonight. I'm not saying it's easy, I'm just telling you it's that simple. So, in the moments, and it's the moments and times of prayer, the quality time that we spend with God, those hours of dependence upon Him in the midst of our prayer life, which enables our faithfulness, because prayer is the result of being, point number one, obedient. Obedient. Look at verses 4 through 6 with me again in John 17. The Bible says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. They were thine, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Notice what the Lord said. He goes, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. We find that the Lord Jesus Christ glorified the Father, and the Father glorified the Son, both through obedience. And this is where discipline comes into play. Too many today in our world, and no matter what it may be, whether it's work, whether it's home, whether it's family, whether it's parenting, whether it's dieting, whatever, training, exercise, they're just living undisciplined lives. Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Discipline doesn't have to be a negative subject. As a matter of fact, I said this, I believe discipline should be a positive subject. In a nutshell, simply put, discipline is simply not doing the things that you want to do in order to have success in your life, and doing the things that you don't want to do, okay, to have success in your life. That's what discipline is. It's a very simple formula. There's some things that you want to do. There's things that you want to enjoy. There's things that you want to partake on in this life, and you just want to do them. But by doing those things, it's going to hinder something in your life. It's going to keep you from having optimal success in your life. Choices that you make, earmarks that you choose in this life. So true discipline is refusing yourself that simple pleasure, that sin for a season, refusing yourself in order to do the things that you really don't want to do, but you know will render success in your life. That's how simple it is. The flesh is weak, my friend. Jesus Christ knew this. He said it in Matthew 26:41, "Watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak." He knew that. Jesus Christ knew. He knew that the most difficult part of the Christian life is going to be prayer. Most of us do not have a problem talking about Christianity or talking about church or talking about the Bible. Most of us don't have that problem. Most of us don't have a problem in putting leaflets through the door, talking to people on the street. Most of us may not even have a problem getting up and preaching the Word of God. But it is those hours in your own prayer closet, that time when you are set aside, guys, that you need to be in prayer. That's the difficult part. Guys, there are times I don't want to pray. I don't want to. There's times when I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm ready for bed. The only thing I want to do is lay down and put my head down on that pillow and go to sleep. But it's at the times when I'm tempted not to pray and say, it'll be okay tonight, when I think about my children, I think about my wife, I think about my mom, my dad, my church members, the ministries, the outreaches, the opportunities, the friends, the family, the co-worker, whatever. I think about them. And that's when we overcome the flesh. We bow our heart and we pray. Beloved, remember, in order to be faithful, we have to be obedient. In order to be faithful, we have to not lean on our own devices. Secondly, tonight, not only is our faithfulness answered in our prayer relationship with the Lord by being obedient, but beloved, our faithfulness is answered when we are reminded of our ownership. Big topic today. Well, it's my body. I'll do with it what I want to. No, it's not. The body that you're in right now has never, ever, 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 ever been yours to do what you want to with it. I have no more right to do to this body than I do to do to somebody else's body. I have no more right to abuse my body than I do to abuse Paul's body. No more right whatsoever. It's not my own. Before you were saved, the body was not yours. It's the devil's. He owned it. And it became a playpen for him. The day that you got saved and born again, the body became the Lord Jesus Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We know this. And so ownership today, guys, you don't own your body. And the quicker you come under that understanding, the quicker you're going to be more obedient to Him in prayer. Look in verses 7 and through 9 with me tonight, if you will, in the same chapter. The Bible says here, "And the Lord is speaking, saying, Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me," guys, "for they are thine." They're the Lord's. They're God's. They're Jesus's, not ours. We need to understand or never forget that we are not our own. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" He says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Guys, we've been given to the Lord. And therefore, our communication with Him should take precedence in our life. Again, it's the linchpin. Prayer is the linchpin to your faithfulness. As we are obedient in prayer, we submit to the true ownership of ourselves. I told this story about F.B. Meyer this morning. I like this story. It's very cute. But while crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner, F.B. Meyer was asked to preach unto the first class passengers one morning. And there was an agnostic present, like there typically is. At the request of the captain, he said, "I'd like you to preach on answered prayer." Okay, on answered prayer. So F.B. Meyer did, the agnostic was asked by his friends. He said, "What do you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon?" He says, "I don't believe a word of it." Well, that afternoon, F.B. Meyer was asked to preach to the fourth class passengers on the ship, and many of the listeners from the morning addressed. They came along, including this agnostic, who claimed that he just wanted to, and I quote, "hear what this babbler had to say." Well, before starting the service, this agnostic took two oranges and put it into his coat pocket. And he was walking by, and he passed this elderly woman sitting in a deck chair, fast asleep, her hands open wide. And in the spirit of humor, in the spirit of being just funny, he took those two oranges and he placed them in her hand and carried on about his business. Went into the service, heard F.B. Meyer speak and preach that night. And then once he left the room and was passing by this dear old lady, she would just sat there happily eating these two oranges. And he went up to her and he says, "You seem to be enjoying those oranges." "Yes, sir," she replied. "My father, he's very good to me." "Your father? Surely your father's not still alive," he said. She said, "Praise God, he's very much alive." And he said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I'll tell you what, sir. I've been seasick for days now. I was asking God to somehow, someway send me an orange. And I suppose in the midst of my prayer, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, not only did I find one orange, but I found two." You see, that agnostic was speechless. He thought he was doing something out of fun. And yet what he was doing was playing right into the hands of an answered prayer. And later on that week, he was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has blessed us in so many ways, guys. He has met our needs in ways that many times we don't even understand, we don't even realize. And I hope during this series, what my hope, my prayer is today, is that the Lord has opened up a door into someone's life for you, that He's revealed something to you according to His power, according to His will. But by His willingness in your life to glorify God, to glorify the Son, to glorify the Father, to glorify the Holy Spirit of God, it simply takes obedience and surrendering yourself to His ownership, beloved. We need to think about it like that. Now, we won't turn there, but when Paul was addressing the church at Corinth, he wrote a letter back to them, and he writes this letter and he goes, "Look, you know, it's been reported to me there's divisions and strife going on in there. Some of you are saying you're of Paul and you're of Apollos and you're of Cephas, and you're setting up what we call in the States these camps." Now, my pastor said God never called me to go camping, amen. He called me to be a Christian, and I believe that. I never was part of a camp. I don't care for the camp mentality and segregating people and getting into these little divisions. And Paul says, you know, who's Apollos? Who's Paul? Who's Cephas? One water than one planet, but God bringeth the increase. Guys, we need to remember in our heart and our life today that the work that we do, the labor that we do, we're doing under the ownership of God Himself. He owns us. And no matter what comes out of it, the glory needs to go to Him. That's being obedient. That's where faithfulness is going to kick in. That's where we find. The Bible tells us that we are God's husbandry. You know what a husbandry is? It's a cultivated field. When we had our farm in Tennessee, and I get on that tractor, and it was always an uphill battle. It didn't matter what I was doing, whether I was bush hogging, cutting grass, even if I was moving the tractor from one barn to another, it seemed like it was always a task at hand. But I remember when I'd cut our garden in at times, and the thing is, you come through there with that plow, and what are you doing to that dirt in the first end of the season? You're breaking the ground, number one, and you're turning the dirt over. That's what a cultivated field, that's how it begins to work. And our hearts tonight, when we surrender to the true ownership of God, we see our faithfulness begin to flourish, and the fruition of that, of those planted seeds through obedience, start to come to life. It starts out with turning that heart over to Him, breaking up that fallow ground, if you will. It requires obedience. It requires surrendering to His ownership. Thirdly and finally tonight, our faithfulness in church and to church, I may say, with the Lord Jesus Christ, to our families, to neighbors, to co-workers, to those that we come in contact with each week, is directly dependent upon our relationship with God in prayer. And again, I say it is the linchpin of our influence in this life, requiring obedience and the surrendering unto His ownership, but it also allows us to overcome troubles in this world, to overcome this world and this life. Verse 2, the Bible says, "As thou hast given me power over all flesh, He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Beloved, 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than is in the world." if I was to be honest with you tonight, if as a human being, if I was to be as honest as a human can be, we begin to look at ourselves and evaluate our own personal shortcomings. If we would look and see where we have failed, if we'll look back at our own Christianity where we've walked away from God and we've left Him exactly where He was and we've grieved that Holy Spirit of God, most of us know that if you've served the Lord and then you went back into sin for a short period of time, you knew that you only had to get through those first few moments of sin and that Holy Spirit of God would be grieved and that heart would be seared and you could do it again easier and do it again easier. That's the path, my friend. If we would just admit to one another tonight that the way that we end up in that situation, searing our heart, keeping the Holy Spirit of God from speaking to us, there's one common thread, and that's our prayer life.
Right.
We've left off praying like we should. Our prayer life is what enables us to be faithful. We have everything in the world today in churches. We have every program known to man, and I don't necessarily have an issue with it as long as we have prayer. Ian Bounds said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. Beloved, we want revival in our area tonight. You and I want revival in Taftswell, in Cardiff. We want revival in South Wales. We want to see revival go throughout the entire nation. My soul, we want to see it go throughout the entire world, do we not? If you're a born-again child of God today, you want to see that revival happen. If there's anything else more important to you than the revival of the Holy Spirit God of this world today, you've got to check your priorities tonight. There's no revival in the history of mankind. There's not one revival that ever occurred or will occur outside of dedicated prayer. Evangelist Gypsy Smith was asked about what the secret of revival was, and he simply said, go home, take a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself, then pray, O Lord, revive everything inside this circle. Imagine tonight. Imagine the four men who met down Penarthway 100 years ago. Every Monday morning in that pub and drank a bit of coffee and tea and sat there and prayed for revival in South Wales. Imagine to Howell Harris back in the mid-1700s who used to meet in the cool of the day, yet before the sun rose up early, whether it was raining, snowing, sunshine, didn't matter, and he bowed his knees on that rock up there in that kind of valley, and he prayed, God, use me for a revival here. Think about those men back in the mid-1800s. 1859 was the revival that broke out. But years leading up to that revival, there was men and women that were praying on the hillside up in the Cunning Valley, asking God to pour through that valley. They did so in prayer, and finally, it burst wide open in revival, like none other occurred throughout the Cunning Valley in 1859. We need to understand that we have overcome this world. We're not a victim. We have all that we need to continue forward to see victory in our life and in the lives around us. We are not a victim. And Christian, let me tell you this tonight. Stop playing the victim in this world. Stop acting like, woe is me, everybody's against me. Listen, if you're a child of God, the world's always been against you. They were against Christ, but you don't have to live like you're. You've overcome the world tonight. Paul said, we're more than conquerors. John, as I've already read, said, you are of God, little children, overcome them, because greater is He that is in you that is in the world. Jesus Christ said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Paul said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's verse after verse after verse of the eternal inspired Word of God that encourages us tonight that we have overcome this world. We are a victor. We are a winner. We're not a loser. We're not a victim in this life. We need to recognize it tonight and exercise it through a prayer life dedicated unto God. Beloved, our fellowship with God is found in the midst of our time of prayer. Our faithfulness to the Lord and for that matter, everything else hinges on that sweet hour of prayer. That's a hymn, I understand, the sweet time of prayer. It's not about quantity, but it is definitely about quality.
Right.
Never a man or a woman shall ever regret the time of dear communion with the Lord, for the fruit of their labor is seen in the faithfulness of God Himself, born in the hours and the moments of prayer. My friend, in closing this evening, the preparation to influence is found in victory over our fear through a relationship with the Father. The purpose of influence is fulfilled in bearing fruit through our relationship with the Son. The power and influence is experienced in furthering our faith through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. But the promotion of influence is found in our faithfulness to God through our relationship and prayer. Beloved, I'm reminded of a sweet poem written by William Cowper, 18th century poet, who was William Wilberforce's favorite poet. He wrote this, he penned these words, saying, "What various hindrances we meet in the coming to a mercy seat, yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. While Moses stood with arms spread wide, success was found on Israel's side. But when through weariness they failed, that moment Amalek prevailed. Have you no words? I'll think again. Words flow apace when you complain, and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Where half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, 'Hear what the Lord has done for me.'" Beloved, again, the preparation of influence is answered through overcoming fear. The purpose of influence is bearing fruit through the Son. The power of influence experienced through our faith with the Holy Spirit of God. But the promotion of influence is found in our faithfulness, in our relationship of prayer to our Holy Father, to God tonight. So, beloved, I encourage you this evening, as we're closing out this chapter of the Mindset Series, the Christian mindset of influence in this world today, there are people that God has put into your life. He has specifically put them into every one of your lives, and He hasn't put them into mine, and He's put them there for a reason. So tonight, the time that we're going to take in prayer, I want you to think of that one person. And I'm simply asking you to accept this challenge this evening. Think of that one person that you know God has put into your path. And you pray for them tonight. In our closing prayer here just moments before we go to our final hymn, you pray for them this evening that God would open up a door so that you could witness and plant that seed or water that seed of the precious gospel. And then let Him bring the increase. But beloved, it's not going to happen tonight if you play the victim. It's not going to happen this evening if you forsake the prayer time that God is so dearly and dearly wants in our life. The power and promotion of influence in our life today and those that are around us is only going to be strengthened by fuel found on our knees in the midst of prayer. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father, I come before You this evening, Lord, and You know everybody's heart, You know their mind, You know where they are tonight. I ask of You, Lord, to please bear witness upon their souls. I pray, Father, this very moment that You'd bring to heart and mind, Lord, that one particular person that they know that has been placed into their life for this season. Lord, that one particular person, dear God, that You have given to them so that they may give them to You. Lord, I pray that You would use every resource, that I pray that You would open every door, every window into these people's lives, so that every soul here tonight of whom they are thinking of would be able to be a witness of the glorious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for our testimony. I pray for our character tonight. I pray for our development, that we would grow closer to You, that we would grow closer to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. And in the midst of prayer, our relationship with God would only increase. But I ask of You this evening, let us be the victor tonight. We are, dear God. I pray that You would take Your people, encourage them to be the victor, and to stop playing the victim, so that we maybe see souls saved, born again of the precious blood of Christ. We ask these things in the precious name of Thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I hope and pray God has been good to you, preaching, teaching of His Word this evening and throughout this series. My ultimate prayer, obviously, is this, that you have that person in mind now. And then when that moment is open, that opportunity is opened in the day, the hour, the time, the moment, that you would steadfastly take that time. If you've asked God to open up the door and then fear starts to set in, you're not buying into it, you're not trusting Him like you should. Fear's not a bad thing if it'll drive you forward tonight. But if you let fear get a hold of you of what may happen or may not happen, let this fear get a hold of you, that you let us be moved, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So if you're going to allow fear into your life, allow the fear of an eternal destination of a devil's hell in the soul of that man, woman, or child that you're thinking of right now, allow that fear to come in, to drive you to be a witness to the lost and dying soul today. Amen. Amen.